I want to take a moment, and I thought about this, but when I saw this video, I want to play this video, and I thought how relevant this is, because sometimes we think going to church is enough, but as one person found out, it wasn't enough. Can we play that video? It's only 3 minutes long.
For most of us,
come in.
Being a good neighbor means loaning a stick of butter, maybe the occasional social visit.
Hello.
How are you, Kathy?
But Kathy Felt of Sandy, Utah says whatever your standard, it pales compared to what her neighbors did for her.
What was your reaction?
I cried. Just like now. I was so moved. This is my miracle.
Kathy's miracle began about 10 years ago. Her MS had progressed to the point where she couldn't even get into bed. And since she lived alone, the only logical long-term solution seemed to be a nursing home. Until one day, the guy next door came over and presented Kathy with a list. A list of about 60 men from the neighborhood who were willing to come over.
Hi, Kathy.
In teams of two to put Kathy to bed.
Take off her slippers, take off her socks. One guy gets on one side and one guy gets on the other side.
Three.
Lift her up, put her on the bed.
It's a process.
You gotta have a pillow under this foot.
Things need to be just so.
She finally says, I feel good.
Perfect.
Pull the covers up, and she's tucked in for the night.
We leave the kiss out.
Yeah, okay.
Kathy's two sons and an aide help her in the morning. But this nightly ritual has been going on 7 days a week.
Hi, Kathy.
For 10 years now.
We're going to be here as long as she needs us.
Keith Pugmire is the main organizer.
Our challenge is to get everybody a time.
Wait. You've got more volunteers than you need?
Yeah.
What kind of neighborhood is this?
This is a great neighborhood.
Clearly.
There's some houses for sale. You want to move in?
Before you call a realtor, though, one caveat. When Keith first started soliciting volunteers, he says not everyone was a natural Florence Nightingale.
I can't say I was excited. I'll tell you that.
Coming into somebody's home, it's a woman, and I have no health care background at all.
Here's that in your phone.
There was definitely an evolution, and it was most evident in this man.
Did you want to do this?
His name is John Keller.
No.
John now admits the only reason he agreed to help Kathy was because he knew he would look bad if he didn't.
That's hard for me to say. I had always considered myself a good person, Christian. Then I realized maybe I'm not. I wanted to be a better person.
Today, John says the simple act of lifting Kathy week after week has made him a profoundly better person. A good reminder that burdens are sometimes blessings in disguise.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime.
God has given us so much. Through his son, Jesus Christ. So I asked you, what are you doing with your life? The life that he has blessed with you. You see, these wicked tenants thought they only had to do one thing. And then it wasn't enough. They wanted to keep it to themselves. They were not willing to share with others and give back to God what was due him. And you see, God only wants our praises, and we do that through what we do with what we have. Jesus also confronted, or I should say, Nathan also confronted David with the same situation. We know the story in 2 Samuel 12. Nathan the prophet, he comes before David. He says, there were two men in a certain town. One was rich and one was poor. Now this rich man, he owned a great many sheep and cattle. The poor man owned but only one lamb. He raised that lamb. It grew up with his children. It ate from the man's own plate and drank from his cup. He cuddled it in its, the baby, he cuddled it in his arms like a baby daughter. And one day a guest arrived at the home of the rich man. So instead of taking just one of his animals out of his flock, he took the poor man's lamb, killed it, and prepared it for his guest. David was furious. As surely as the Lord lives, he vowed, any man who would do such a thing deserves to die. He must repay four lambs to the poor man for the one he stole and for having no pity. And Nathan looked at David. I can imagine the prophet looking him in the eyes and said to David, you are this man. What do we do with what we have? We may not have much. And we say we can't do anything. But is that what God wants from us? We have so much to give and so much to offer to God. Our lives alone are a blessing. You see, in this parable, Jesus makes their lack of obedience very personal. They were using their religiosity to mask their lack of fruitfulness. God gave them everything, but they refused to use it to be fruitful and to multiply. The world needs to know God and His love. We've been given the responsibility now to show His love to the world. God took it away and gave it to us. We now have been given that responsibility to take care of and to nurture and to go out into the world and show God's love when there is so much hate and confusion. You look at the news today and what do you see? Rarely anything good happening in it. But I know there is good happening in it. I know there are all things being done. And you see God's work being performed if you look. But our media doesn't want to tell the good stories, do they? Very seldom do you hear the good stories because that isn't good for the ratings. If we are to learn anything from this parable, it should be that we serve a Savior that is both gracious and just. And we should see ourselves as the stewards of His blessing. He built His kingdom, provided us with everything we need, the Holy Spirit. We can apply this parable to our lives by asking ourselves two questions. As it becomes personal, ask yourself, have you come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior? Or have you rejected Him just like the Jewish leadership did? What does this parable tell you about your relationship with God and Christ? The answers you find to this question are the most important points of truth in the Bible. For Jesus said in John 17, verse 3, this is eternal life, that you may know, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus didn't make a contractual agreement with us. His covenant was made with love. It is a relational contract, covenant, one that can't be broken by him. Because back in Leviticus, and I think it's chapter 26, he says that despite what you are doing, I will not break my covenant with you. I have made a covenant with you, and I will keep that covenant. I will be your God. And God is our God today, the same God. A covenant built on love. And God lives through us, lives in us through the Holy Spirit. You see, the process is simple, but then it is not simple. As long as you are sincere and seeking a relationship with Christ, you need to recognize your sins. Accept Christ as the only one who can save you from the penalty of your sins. Secondly, if you are a believer, what have you done with Christ? And when I saw this video, I was in many ways embarrassed because I felt like I was John. You know, you're put in a position where there are so many men volunteering to help this woman, he couldn't help but say yes, because he looked at himself as this good Christian. I try to be nice, friendly with everybody. When I'm needed, I help. I go to church. I give offerings, and I do all those things. But you see, there's more to being a Christian. And John realized that. And when he stepped out of that shadow of what he thought he was and actually became what he should have been, it made him a better person. Sometimes it's difficult to do things. And sometimes we have to force ourselves to do it, to help someone who's in need. Just being there, sitting with them. John found out it made his life so much more fulfilling. And to think there were so many people, so many men in this town that volunteered, that the list was so long, probably some of them would never have the opportunity to help this lady. And she was just filled with tears of joy. As I said, if you are a believer, what have you done with Jesus? Are you like the bad tenants, rejecting his word and living a life of disobedience? Or are you coming to know God through his word and through prayer, praying for guidance, seeking his will in your life and through his words? And through his words, we come to know God for who God is. We were created in the image of him. We were made body and soul in the very image of God. And once you come to know Jesus, then you also know what his ministry was about. And that's what our life is about, living in the kingdom of God. In Mark 1, the disciples were searching for Jesus and they couldn't find him. And when they finally found him, they said, you know, everyone's been looking for you. Where have you been? And he said to them, let us go on to the next towns that I may preach, because that's why I came. See, Jesus was about helping those to know who his Father is. They have become so out of touch with God. And he wanted to know who his Father is. Jesus went out and he touched the hearts of many people. And though in the end he was rejected and killed, his legacy, his life, his kingdom lives in and through us. Second Peter 3, verse 18 says, whatever you are given, you must use it to grow in his grace and knowledge. Use it to grow up and become mature children, or should I say mature adults of God, because that's what we are. We come to learn, but then when we learn, it ends, has to come to a point where the learning has to now become put into practice, right? Because the disciples didn't say disciples forever. They became apostles. They sat at Jesus' feet and they learned and they learned. And finally, it literally took Jesus Christ rising up from the tomb for them to realize who Jesus Christ was. And it was then they finally realized what Jesus was telling them. Jesus had passed the baton on to them. It was now their responsibility to go out and preach. Kathy Dedo said in one of her messages, the essence of the Christian life is participation with Jesus Christ by the Spirit in the fellowship Jesus has with the Father and the Spirit, and our participation in love that the triune God has for all people. It's all relational. A relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's what Pastor Richard talked about last week. You know, God is a God of love, and we need to emulate him. Show him how much he truly means to us through our own life and our own example. Jesus was asked the question, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And we all know that, right? Jesus responded, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is just like it, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. From the beginning of time, when the first commandment was made with Adam, as God walked with Adam, he gave all of it to him. This is all yours. Take care of it. Be fruitful and multiply. And God, through the parable of the wicked tenants, I think also makes it relevant then to them in the New Testament. You know, I've given you everything. I want you to take it, and I want you to nurture it and produce fruit. And now we have been given that task also. So what are you going to do with what God has given you? Are you going to take it and say, I'm proud of this? I want to leave you with this last story. It's about the three stone cutters. How many of you know the story? Good, not too many. A traveler came upon three individuals working with stone. Curious as to what these workers were doing, the traveler approached the first worker, and he asked, what are you doing? Without the slightest hesitation, the worker replied, I'm a stone cutter, and I'm cutting stones. Still unclear of the worker's task and what they were building, the traveler approached the second worker and asked the same question. And to this, the second worker thought for a moment. I am a stone cutter, and I am cutting stones to earn money to support my family. Kind of puzzled by the two different responses, the sojourner approached the third worker and asked, "What are you doing?" Stopping for a moment, the worker stared at the stone in his hand. He slowly turned to the traveler, and he said, "I am a stone cutter, and I am building a cathedral." So my question to you is, what are you building? I pray you are building God's kingdom.